Stop us singing, oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh hallelujah. I got saved. Oh hallelujah. Oh highest praise. Highest praises. Grateful, sing it out. I'm grateful for who you are and all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
For we'll put your hands together like this.
Some, it's been a great year for others, but let's thank him for being good. Hey, you've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. And my heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord, I love you. You've been so good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord, I'm gonna thank you, Lord. My heart is full. So good, you've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I'm gonna thank you, Lord. My heart is full, my heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. I know he's been good. Oh, I'm gonna thank you, Lord.
Straight from heaven, your hope lost and told when you came with your kindness and your goodness. Your love breaks the chains off of my heart, off of my mind. Your power sets free all the captives, and you bring peace. Jesus.
Oh yes it does, come on. I'll see the
Come on, are you happy this morning? Because Jesus lives, we can face what's ever going to come. Whatever's going to happen, because so many years ago, Jesus did something for us. He took our sin, He took our shame, and everything that we've ever done wrong on a cross so many years ago, so that today we can lift our hands and our voices in song and really connect. So if you come in here today weary from the year, worried about what's coming ahead, we turn our eyes on the things of God, and He begins to make things a lot lighter by giving us His Spirit, His strength, His power, His love, His protection. It can go on and on and on. So I want to encourage everybody here, let's just really press into what God has for us today. Let's come in here and lay it all down at the altar for the Lord and just begin to say, God, I'm ready to worship You. I'm ready to end my year strong and finish my year strong all at once. And if that's you today, I want you to raise a hand and just to say, that's me. That's me in this place. I'm ready to start over. I'm ready to forget what's behind me and move what's in front of me. And let's just praise Him together. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus. Alone in my sorrows and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given in vain. Morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, Your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner now. Your shame was the ransom, be free for me, Lord. He canceled my debt and He called me His friend, Lord. Cross. Darkness rejoiced, though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested in my life. Oh, it began. Over me, over me.
good God, isn't he? He's a good, good, good God. I was reading. That's why you shouldn't use these. In Psalms this morning, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest." Somebody say rest. "In green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths." I was praying this morning that when you leave today, that you'll have rest. That you'll have rest. Because when you don't have rest in your spirit, it's hard. I was praying today that when you leave, that you'll let God lead you. That when you leave today, you'll feel refreshed. That's what that scripture says. And that you'll be guided by the Holy Spirit all 2018. Will you just raise your hand for a minute and just believe that the Lord's going to give you rest today? Maybe you need extra peace today. He's going to give that to you. He's going to lead you. He's going to refresh you. And he's going to guide you. Just wanted to remind you to worship the King of Kings. He's here today. We just are so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you're here with us at Charleston Church today. When we entered through those doors, you were already here to help us. You were here to meet us wherever we need today. I pray, Holy Spirit, from this side of the building all the way across every chair in the balcony, that we will leave different today. That there will be a refreshing in our spirits. There will be a new hope in our thought life. Lord, that this year, 2018, will be like we have never experienced. That there will be an outpouring in Charleston Church. That we will be able to even do more. That something inside of us will be even more free than it's been. That we'll walk in the Spirit. We'll walk with the joy and we'll walk with the peace. And we just thank you for what you have today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm just believing for good things today in this house. Amen. There will be no service tonight. We want you to enjoy your family tonight as you bring in the new year. Get that sparkling cider out and just enjoy yourself, okay? That's what we do, and usually there's one snoring, but I won't say who that is. He brings in the new year, but usually it's like this. So it's exciting. I'm sorry. Woo! It's good to have you here today. It's good to have you here. I'm sorry, it's like squirrel, you know, woo, just like that. I just want to tell you that we're not having service tonight, but I don't know if you've heard, but this Wednesday, we're going to start our first Wednesday, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So in the middle of the week, how many know you need a little bit more? So this Wednesday at 7 o'clock, bring your family. This is for families. We're going to have service in the first Wednesday, put that sign down. It's at 7 o'clock. We're just checking if you were paying attention. We want you here on time. So it's gonna be at 7. Should have left it, he said. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a little distracted by this man in the front row this morning. Okay, so at 7 o'clock, say 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I will see you Wednesday night. There will be nursery. There will be kids on the move. There will be Ignite and Soul Fire. It's just going to be a refreshing, great time together, okay? So I look forward to seeing you all there. How many believe in heaven? How many believe that moment you take your last breath here, you are in heaven? Amen? So this week, one of our wonderful men of the church, Norman Rockwell, entered the gates of heaven. He entered, I mean, I think sometimes we actually forget how powerful that is. He entered the gates of heaven. And I believe that the Lord said, well done. Well done. So let's just, this week, if we could remember Glenda and her family and ask the Lord to be with all of the family, because this is, any time is a hard time to lose somebody, but this time of year would be very difficult. So as ushers come get ready, I just wanted to thank you for all the Project 18 cards that you have passed in and you have put in the offering. We're believing to be even this year coming up that we'll be able to do more projects than we've ever done. We're just believing for that. So we just come right on down. So we just want to say thank you for all that you've done. If you haven't filled out a Project 18, then take that. And these are just missions, things that we're going to do all year long. We have so many plans, and they are exciting. But I just wanted to show you one video of something we did this year to help. This is a pastor. Oops, go ahead.
Because of the love and generosity of your partnership, over 5 million pounds of food and supplies were given to 220,000 households. 2,200 volunteers showed up big. 1,454 work orders were recorded. 837 homes were mudded out and debris removed. 55 homes of faith family members are being repaired. We housed 1,973 volunteers from 48 states working 43,516 hours. Over 300,000 was raised and countless prayers were prayed. We could not have done it without you.
Isn't that awesome? That's a personal friend of ours, church. Jim and Tamara Graff, pastors, preach there. And how exciting that we were able to give to that project and bless Texas. Amen? So let's just ask the Lord to bless this offering and the rest of this service. God, we just thank you for what you're going to do in this service today. We just thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And we thank you, Lord, for Faith Family Church that we were able to bless in that area. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to bless Faith Family Church. And we pray that you begin to move in the hearts of Charleston Church even more, that we can bless more. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bless every family that's here. You see every need that they brought into this house today. And I pray your blessing on them. I pray your favor on them. I pray whatever they need today, Lord, that you will be able to meet their needs completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And here's a video about First Wednesday at 7.
Knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith you know best. Nothing can catch you by surprise. You've got this figured out. You're watching us now. our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because, and we're standing here, and we're standing here only because, oh, we're standing right here.
Praise God. I think it would not be inappropriate for you to thank God that whatever kind of year it was, easy or challenging, beneficial, or maybe some battles, I think somebody ought to just thank God you're still here today, you're still worshiping today, you haven't let go of your faith, and your God hasn't let go of you. Come on, you can do the best you have all year at the end of the year. Come on, right out loud. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. It wasn't all easy, but how many glad you made it through? That is okay. But I have a feeling that time you did it because you were asked to. This time I'm going to ask you to do it because God is here, and He's the one who responded when nobody knew what you needed, and He came through. I'm going to ask you this time, as if He's the only one in the room and nobody was around you, to exert some kind of praise to God and say, thank you. Come on, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here. Come on, praise Him like He didn't. If it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have made it. Come on, praise Him for good now. Magnify Him, magnify Him. Come on, praise Him. You made it, you made it. Come on, you made it. And if you made it through this one, you can go through the next one. He's the same God. When there was no way, I believe, I don't know about you, but I believe He's able to do greater things.
I've seen you move
a mighty mountain. Come on, let's clap our hands and thank God for a complete breakthrough through the Lord. I know that we give God the credit, but I want to say to you, I'm glad that you hung in there. There are some that did not, and there's some that let go. But I would tell you today, and I believe that the Lord, and I've got scripture to say it, that God is pleased that you didn't give up, but you stood in the Bible says there are times that all you need to do and all you can do is stand. Then do what you can. Stand, but let the Lord fight your battle. And how many are glad that you didn't quit? You stood in there. You stayed in the batter's box. God has responded. I thank God for that. Lord, I pray now, the rest of this service, I've sensed you moving here today, and you're not done. So God, I pray that our hearts are open through prayer. Lord, I believe that when we pray, our hearts are open to hear you speak. And God, before we leave today, we want and need and are ready to hear you speak. So speak to us today. Make it clear. You can take one sermon and to divide it into hundreds of people, and make every situation start going in a better direction in Jesus' name. Somebody shout a good amen. Amen. While you're standing, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis. If you would, real quick. And then after that, you can be seated. Genesis chapter 2. reads these words. Genesis, it's appropriate to look at a new year looking at the first book. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And I can't wait for church Wednesday night. And I'll tell you, I'm going through a bit of withdrawals. Us Sunday night folk, we're Sunday night folks. I mean, we just like church Sunday night. We don't go because we have to. We just like it. And not going last week, it was Christmas Eve. That's fine. Tonight, I understand. But I have to get back here Wednesday. And apparently, I'll be well rested by the time we get here. Like, I got thinking about that. I can't wait to sleep tonight. I mean, so I do it every year, and it seems to come and go just the same. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Did you have a good Christmas? Are you ready for 2018? Good, that's awesome. I believe great things are going to happen. We'll share those with you as the time goes by. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." Verse 8. "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east." Now look at that. He created the world. He made man. Then he put this garden together. And there he placed the man that he had made. I want to talk to you on this thought. Now boarding. Now boarding. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't miss your flight." If you would please, then you can be seated. Don't miss your flight. Don't miss your flight. Because we're now boarding. We're getting ready. Somebody shout, "I'm getting ready to get on the plane. I'm getting ready to get on a plane." How many of you got on a plane would fly south today, not north? I want to talk to you about now boarding. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Now boarding. If you want to go somewhere, then you require a flight, there's a couple things that are necessary. One, you got to get to the right airport. If you want to go somewhere, I know this is pretty deep right off the beginning. You got to get to the right airport. Number two, you got to get to the right terminal. Now, that's not hard in Bangor because there's one. You got to get to the right terminal. But then you got to get to the right gate. That's not hard in Bangor. There's three. But once you get to the gate, you need to have your ear tuned for when the ticket agent picks up that microphone that they bought at Radio Shack in the late 90s. Now boarding. You've got your ticket. You're at the right gate. You're at the correct terminal. And you're at the appropriate airport. But if when they call your flight and you don't get on that flight, you won't get where you wanted to go. I find it interesting that God made the entire earth, and you already know this. Then he made man, he made the earth fit for man to live in, and out of the earth, out of the dirt, he pulled up some good Aroostook County soil and formed man and breathed life into him. And then God said, "Adam," and Adam said, "Yes, I want you to leave here. You see that garden over there I built? Yes, sir. Go there." And Adam said, "Yes, sir." And he walked into the garden. It's interesting that in the world, God made a world for Adam. There's a tremendous picture here. And if you read it too fast, like I often do, you miss the picture that God has given. Is that every person is in the world, but every person in the world, God has a world for you to work in. He didn't say to Adam, "Now I want you to guard and work and tend and serve all the world." He said, "I want you to be responsible to serve in the world I made for you in the world," and that's the Garden of Eden. Go in there and tend it, guard it, work it, preserve it, serve it, make it expand, make it grow. But don't get yourself consumed in that world. Stay planted and focused in your world. And it was in that world that Adam fellowshipped with God. It was in that world that Adam met his mate. Many understand that Adam didn't go down to Cowboy's Tavern to pick up Eve. He stayed in the plan, in the world that God had for him. And I want you all to hear this. whether you're, this is the first time you've ever been in a church, whether you've been in church 100 times, whether you've grown up in church, maybe you're just starting over again, maybe you're watching online, I need you to understand that God has made this world for all of us to live in, but God has in this world given you a purpose and a plan that only, that is fit for you. And God is constantly throughout the scripture calling for mankind to come board, now boarding. From Genesis to Revelation, God continually through prophets, through angels, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through ministry, through miracles, through signs in the heavens, through signs on the earth, God is constantly trying to call mankind to board the purpose that God has for every single individual. And I need to just encourage you today before we leave 2017 to make a decision that in 2018, you are going to give everything in your life to fulfilling the purpose that God has put you on the planet for, so that when God calls your flight, you say, I'm there. I'll do what you want. I think sometimes the greatest lessons that we can learn are from the negatives or from the failures of others. Somebody say, I learn best through my own failures. Well, why? You don't have to. I'd rather let somebody else pay the price. And so when I think about Cain, I think of a person that tells Matt Ward, never give your life to something that's not your purpose. Let's talk about Cain and Abel. You know that Adam and Eve sinned while they're in the garden. They are removed from that beautiful place, and now they have to struggle in the world. They have a son named Abel and a son named Cain, and they've raised them both to go to church, and they've raised them both to worship. And when it came time for worship, I find it very interesting that Abel did not worship in Kanduskeg and Cain worshiped in Bradford. But when it came time for worship, they came together. And when they came together, they knew that when you come to church, you don't just go through the motions. You come to put your heart into it. And you can prove that you put your heart into it by the attitude that you bring to church. Hang in there with me. Come on, you came to church on a 20 degree below zero day. You ought to know that you came here for the right reason. Unless there's no heat in your house, you came here for the right reason. And when Abel comes up to worship, Abel brings, he's a herdsman. So he brings the firstborn of his flock. Now think about that. Abel's been taught by his parents to tithe, to give God the first. Now talk to me about this law thing. It started in the Garden of Eden. And watch, let's think about this. Abel the herdsman said to one of the guys working for him, you see that first animal born right there? Set that animal aside over in another stall because I'm going to go worship. And when I go, I'm going to bring God the first and I'm going to bring God the best. Like he didn't get up that morning and say, okay, where's one of my good sheep to take? But perhaps days or weeks before he went to church, he said, set that one aside because I'm getting ready, because when I get to church, I'm going to get blessed when I get there. So he takes this animal and he brings him to church and he offers, sacrifices it to God. And the Bible says that God looks at the sacrifice and says, you know what, Abel? Much respect. The Bible says that God respected Abel's offering. Cain was in the same pew when the bucket was passed. And Cain looked and something must have happened outwardly for Cain to look at Abel, because Cain can't see God no more than you can. So he looks at Abel and he says, wow, that dude's getting blessed. God really responded well to his offering. That can happen, you know. Two people can be in the same role. One person's having the best service of their life. The other person cannot get out quick enough. Cain brings up his offering. Now wait. Abel prepared days or weeks before. You know what the Bible says Cain did? He's the guy that just raises grain. On his way to church, he grabbed a handful of grain out of the field, stuffed it in his pocket. When the offering went by, he threw it down and said, well, there, see, I've done my duty. And the Bible says that God had no respect for Cain because he could tell in Cain's heart Cain had no respect for God. And God said, A for effort, but you get no prize. You get no blessing. It made Cain so angry. It teaches us such a lesson that Cain shows us that getting on board with God is not just some kind of heartless habit that we just go through the routine. Abel shows us that getting on board with God means it is a part of my lifestyle. For Cain, faith is something that happens starting Sunday morning and ends after the service is complete. For Abel, it's something that takes place 7 days a week. In other words, Cain's doing it because he has to. Abel's doing it because he wants to. And the difference is the blessing goes to those who get on board with their whole heart, and the frustration belongs to those who are just going through the routine. I don't know how many times I've done it, but it's too many. And I don't know how many times you've done it, but it's too many. But how many make a commitment today? I'm not going to do anything for God because it's routine. I'm going to do everything for God because my heart is in it. My heart is in it. I don't do it whether I feel like it or not, but I want my heart to be in it. Because the Bible does say that God will respond to the intention of your heart. That's why God will respond to my hound dog singing a lot better than some of your songbird singing if my heart is for it and yours just want to be heard. Come on, how many hound dogs are in this place? Ain't nothing but a hound dog going to worship God today. Arr. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Genesis chapter 4. Look at what God says. But the Lord said, what have you done? Now, why did he say that? Because Cain was out in the field with Abel. And Cain was so angry with Abel that he killed him. I could go somewhere on that, but maybe for another time. And God says, what have you done, Cain? Listen, your brother's blood's crying out to me from the ground. Verse 11. Now you're cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. Verse 12. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, and no matter how hard you work from now on, you'll be a homeless wanderer. Now look at that and watch that right there. See that? Here's the example. You're going to be a homeless wanderer. Verse 13. Cain replied, this punishment's too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land, and you've banished me from your presence. He's in essence saying, if I'm not in your presence, and if I don't have a purpose, life isn't worth living. Whew. Y'all okay? No, it's going to get better in a minute. I just have to, I'm just trying to show you a poor example to be a lesson to you, to tell you that when we stop giving everything we have to God and we don't board and we're just doing it because we have to do it, we're doing it because it's just what we do, then I'm just telling you what happens is you become like Cain and you get bored and you spend more time asking others to change and not changing yourself. And then when you get without purpose, you become boorish. And I think you can take all the guns out of the hands of every person in this planet, but we'll stab each other to death because it's not really an arms problem, it's a heart problem. And when people aren't serving the purposes of God, they get animal-like. And we have riots and killing in the streets and killing babies in the wombs of women, and there's murder and rape and abuse taking place. Why? Because people have gotten off the purpose that God has for them. But I want to declare today that God has a plan for his people, and the best life you'll ever live is to get on board, get it with your whole heart, and give everything you've got. And God will not deny your prayer when you give that kind of prayer. I decree today in 2018, Charleston Church will get on board like it has never been on board before. It will fulfill its purpose, and it starts right here, and it starts today. It's interesting, if you go from Genesis 1, 2, 4. You go over to Acts. And constantly Jesus has been preparing the disciples to go. Get on board. We got somewhere to go. We got something to do. Let's get something done. And it's interesting that in Acts 1, and it's not on the screen, but in Acts 1, Jesus is telling them, you've got this plan and you've got this work to do. But then he tells them, you need to wait. Whoa, whoa. How many of you like waiting? Nobody. This is how you get on board. Are you ready? I just got some crackling up here. If you can't hear it, then it's fine with me. Jesus says, I want you to go to the world. I want you to go to Judah. I want Judea. I want you to go to Samaria. I want you to go all over the world. And the disciples, okay, let's go. And he says, but wait. They see Jesus ascend up into the heavens. The angels say, why are you standing here? Let's go. But then they realize they got to wait. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they went to an upper room and they tarried for 10 days and they prayed. And look what happened in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a mighty roaring of mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared on them and settled on each of them. Verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability. If you were to read on, you were to hear that there were people from all over the world in that street, and they could hear the gospel. They could hear good news being declared in every one of their languages. And I don't know if you know it, but they didn't have Rosetta Stone in Acts chapter 2. This is where the practical part of this message is. Because I really believe that nearly 100% of the people that are in this building today want to get on board with what God has for you. You know that God has a world for you in this world, and you have a purpose, and you're willing to give your heart to it. You're willing to do it with everything that you've got. You're willing to get on board, but you don't know how. I have one instruction for you today, and it is so simple, it is so easily overlooked, because we think that it's old-fashioned. It's because we think that we're too clever. It's because we think that we've got too many talents and abilities that we don't need this anymore. But I'm going to tell you today, the only way to properly get on board with God's plan for your life is to have a prayer life. It's to have a prayer life. You cannot be get in and stay in the will of God without a prayer life. I'm not asking if you've got a church life. I'm not asking you if you've got a social life. I'm saying to you today, ladies and gentlemen, we need to restore. I'm not preaching to somebody else's church. I'm preaching to Charleston. We must, in 2018, get a restoration in our lives and in our lifestyle, that we will become a people of prayer. It should be that the most powerful moments in this service are not when the music's playing, are not when the preacher's preaching. The most powerful parts of our meeting should be when the people are praying. I heard it today. You sang so marvelously. I hear it when I preach, because you learn that it's scriptural to say amen and to respond. But my cry to you today is, let us get to the point when people are just battling and they're struggling and it seems like there's a block in the service, that when somebody stops and says, let's pray, that there's such prayer, that there's such life, that there's such joy, that there's such power, that the lame get up and walk. The blind get their sight back. The lost want to get saved. When God's people pray, He will respond with supernatural miracles. Prayer. Prayer. We've got to have it again. We've got to hunger for it again. I don't know how to pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. Make time. Talk to God. Share with Him your heart. Share with Him your need. And I'm just telling you today, if you want to hear the call of God to get on board with your life's purpose and not live a Cain-like existence, then you've got to do what the early church did, and that is pray. I've asked God to not make me a better preacher, but to make me a better prayer. I've asked God not to make me a better leader, but first make me a better prayer. I've asked God not to make me a better husband, but first make me a better prayer. Because if you become a better prayer, you'll become a better husband. If you become a better prayer, you'll become a better wife. If you become a better prayer, you'll become a better boss. If you become a better prayer, you'll become a better soul winner. Come on, somebody. The more you, much prayer, much power. Have you prayed? If you have not, you have not contacted all the sources available. I'm so tired. How much do you pray? I'm so worried. Do you pray? Let me see your schedule. Pull it out. Let me see. Have you planned prayer time? You've planned play time. You've planned fun time. You've planned work time. You've planned appointments. You've planned shopping trips. And have all of them. Well, except the line. But plan time. Why? What happens? Number one, I'll tell you what happens when God's people pray. Number one, what happens when we pray? When we wait and pray, waiting and praying unlocks power. Come on, say that with me. Waiting unlocks power. Y'all okay? I can feel this. I can feel this. I'm telling you, God's going to do something in this place like we have never seen before. And what will start in a groan is going to turn into a glide. You say, oh, it's hard to pray. But I'm going to tell you, when you start praying, groaning is at the beginning, but gliding comes at the ending. I found when I was a little kid, it was hard to carry my sled up the hill, but it was fun to slide down. And we want the glide, but we don't want the groan. And we complain about the results. But how many say, if God will provide the glide, I'll go through the groan? We want things that we won't pray for. And power only comes when we learn to wait and pray. Wait and pray. Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Lord, the Sovereign of the Holy One of Israel says. Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Somebody needs to write that down this week and make that a scripture that you read every day this year, next year. Isaiah 30, 15. Only in returning in me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. Verse 18. The Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion, for the Lord is faithful, God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. Imagine going to the bank. The banks say, you haven't paid your mortgage. Well, just take the money out of my account. But you haven't put any money in your account. Well, I've been too busy. Are y'all out there today? This is what you want to do in northern Maine when it's 25 degrees below zero at the end of the year, right after Christmas, is preach on prayer. I'm a sucker for punishment. I'm going to tell you today, when you spend time with God, how long? However long it takes. However long it takes. But when you spend time with prayer and you spend in prayer with God, guess what? When you start feeling like your back is up against the wall, guess what happens? You've made time to make a deposit in a relationship with God, and God in return will make a deposit inside of you so that when you're back up against the wall, you've got a place to reach down and say, I've received a deposit of power, and I'm not going to let worry destroy me. I'm going to reach in here and get some joy. I'm going to reach in here and get some faith. I'm going to reach in here and get some strength. I'm going to reach in here and get some wisdom, because I got something in prayer, I can get victory in public. Waiting in prayer unlocks power. Waiting in prayer develops discipline. Waiting in prayer develops discipline. For 10 days, these early believers just did fellowship and prayer. they discipline themselves. You know, it's hard to preach and have a service an hour and a half where people just aren't having Facebook withdrawals. Like people just walking into vehicles out there checking their Facebook status. Did I get any friends during church today? I'm not against it. I'm just saying be careful on the ice. Thou shalt not walk in post in January in Maine. But taking time every day. And I'm not saying if you miss a day, that, oh, I'm no good. No. I'm just saying when you develop discipline, you develop patience. Israel had this habit of starting good and then backsliding. Just like a good old-fashioned Pentecostal. Save for a week, backslid the next week. Nobody backslid better and quicker than me. You know, if you get on a plane in Bangor and you want to end up in Dallas, you're going to have to get a connecting flight. And you may get on the plane good in Bangor, but if you don't know how to get on the next flight, you're not going to get to Dallas. And too many Christians know how to start good, but they don't know how to end good. And the only difference between those who end well and those who don't end well is a word called discipline. It's a dirty word. But when we pray, we discipline ourselves. The Israelites, when they went into the wilderness, literally had a 2-week walk to Canaan. But because they wouldn't discipline themselves, they were in the wilderness for a completion of 40 years, and an entire generation died, and they didn't need to because they lacked discipline. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to make a commitment in freshness today to say, I will pray, I will get up. If it doesn't seem right, if it doesn't feel good, I don't care. I will pray. It's discipline. Waiting in prayer unlocks power. Waiting in prayer develops discipline. Waiting in prayer forms relationship with God. Come on, musicians. For 10 days, those people who are about to get on board and start a ripple effect of faith across the planet spent 10 days talking to God. There is no friend. Please hear what I'm saying to you today. Please hear this. There is no friend greater than God. I said, there is no friend like Jesus. I said, you'll have no greater companion than to know he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Oh, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Come on, for some people, he's a sugar daddy, and he's the one you cry out to when your marriage is in trouble. But for me, he's my greatest friend. For me, he's been there when nobody could be. For me, he stood with me when I thought I stood alone. For you, he's the doctor in the hospital room. He's the Lord. Come on, so I feel like preaching now. I forget. I'm going to go ahead and preach. For you, he's a lawyer in the courtroom. Come on, somebody. He's a help when you don't have any help. He's a counselor on the couch. He's a strength in the gym. He's a guide in the wilderness. He is God. He provides fire by night, a cloud of coolness by day. He's there when you don't know what to do. He knows what to do. When you don't have the strength, he gives you the strength. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of preaching to dead people. When you don't have it, he's got it. And at the end of your strength, you come to the beginning of his. He's my friend. Come on. You've never had a friend better than Jesus. Remember in the book of the Song of Solomon, beautiful story of the lady as she laid in bed and she heard her lover come to the door and knock on the door, but she just didn't want to get up. What does he want? Knock, knock, knock. Eventually she gets up and opens the door and he's just walking away. She finds out he didn't really want anything. He just wanted to spend time with her. There are times that you need to pray and you don't have anything to ask him for. But he still wants to spend time with you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I am a friend of God. You may not have any famous people on your cell phone. What do they call that? Directory? I got a phone book in the mail this week. I had to explain to the kids what it was. You may not know anybody that knows anybody. You may not feel like you're anybody. You wonder, you know, does anybody care? Am I having any influence? I'm just telling you today, if you make a connection to Jesus Christ, you've got a friend that would give his life for you. And that's the kind of friend everybody needs. Everybody needs that kind of friend. I'm telling you, God introduced himself as a friend to sinners. How much more a friend is he to the saints? If you don't have a relationship with God, I need you to hear this today, that God wants to become more than Lord. He wants to become your friend. And when I say he's your friend, I don't mean some casualness. I think sometimes people, well, he's my friend, like he's my buddy. He's my bro. No. We're not talking about some weird casualness. I'm talking about a God who will fight for you. I'm talking about a God who doesn't backstab you. I'm talking about a God who will give his best so that you can experience his best. And if you've never repented of your sins, and if you've never invited him into your life and let him remove the gap that is now between you and the Father, your sin separates you from God, but Jesus died on the cross so that you can have a relationship with God. Then before the service is over, that's going to be an opportunity that you're going to have. Lastly, waiting opens doors. Okay, I just kind of preached all the religious dust off of you. So I'm going to just go ahead and do it the way I want to. I mean, oh, he's a God that can do anything. This is no time to get quiet on the preacher. Now look, I'm not having church tonight, so I'm going to get everything I can out of God in this service this morning. I'll tell you what. Have you ever had God do something and you just shake your head like, wow? How did that happen? Come on, I know. I'm talking about prayer and you're all like, I'm not good, I'm a worm, I don't pray. Stop it. Just start praying. We're done with that, okay? Feeling sorry for yourself doesn't change anything. You know, we don't get on a talk show and cry about it. Stop. It don't change anything. Change. I say, from now on, I'm going to be a man or a woman of prayer. Done. So I'm talking about the previous flight. You're on a new plane. I'm declaring you today, right here in the most difficult season, to build a church and to have faith in northern Maine, and it's 20 below zero, I declare to you today that when you seek God in prayer, he has a way of opening doors that you never could have opened on your own. About 20% of you look like you don't want him to. Okay, hold it. But for the 80% that says, I believe that he does those kind of things, let me explain. That on that day, God had already shared with them before that day that you're to share the gospel all over the world. You know, the disciples had to have said, boy, we don't have much Wi-Fi here in Jerusalem. How are we going to reach the world? How are we going to reach the world? All we got is the newest camels. How are we going to get the gospel all over the world? But as coincidence would have it, it's not coincidence. People from all over the world were in Jerusalem for the day of the festival of Pentecost. And while they were in the upper room praying and seeking God, God did something supernatural and allowed them, downloaded Rosetta Stone into them, and they each began to preach the gospel in the languages of maybe 15 to 20 different nationalities. Those 15 or 20 nationalities went back to their homeland, and perhaps what started in a room of 120 turned into thousands of people in one day, began to share the gospel all over the world because of the results of one prayer meeting. You know, it would have taken them maybe four lifetimes to make the things happen that took place in one day, in one moment. In other words, the Lord says, you're working too hard. You're sweating too much. You worry too often. When you ought to go to prayer, God can open a door no man can open. He can shut a door no man can shut either. Come on. I'm saying that God can do more in a moment than you can do in a lifetime. Do you believe this today? Do you believe that God can accelerate what He's doing in your life? I'm telling you what will happen when you decide to pray. Is you're going to seek God, and He's going to start doing things, and you're going to be, whoa. And then you're going to begin to realize, this is not luck. This is what God does in response to getting on board. Let us pray. All over this place. Let me say that again. Let us pray. Let me say that again, because you're triggered to think, we'll listen to the preacher pray. No, you didn't hear what I said. I said, let us pray. There are hundreds of people here. Come on, pray out loud. Come on, begin to pray. Say, Lord, I commit myself to prayer. Go ahead. All over this building, those of you that are online, say, I'm going to become a prayer warrior. Come on, begin to pray, Lord. You say, I don't know what to say. Say something. Just begin to talk to Him. Tell Him what's going on. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how much you need Him. Tell Him, I'm ready for the impossible. I'm ready for the incredible. I'm ready for the miraculous. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready for my sins to be gone. I'm ready for my shame to be buried. I'm ready for my faith to grow. I'm ready for my marriage to get healed. I'm ready for my body to get strong. I'm ready for my kids to get right. I'm ready for my business to take off. I'm ready for my mind to have peace. Just tell Him something. Come on. Lord, we just surrender to You. And we say today, the most important aspect of our activity and our schedule is that time with You. Oh God, let us become more excited about prayer time than any other time. And if we'll become more excited and devoted to our prayer time every other time, we'll have a better time because we spend our moments with You. Lord, we humble ourselves right here. We humble ourselves before You, Lord. And we say, cleanse us from every attitude and every filthiness and every bit of sin that we've allowed and tolerated in our lives. We say, Lord, please, we turn from our any ways that are not like Yours. And in response, we pray, Lord, heal our land. Lord, I pray for Charleston Church. Lord, I pray the mantle of intercession comes upon it once again, so that the most powerful part of our service is not worship or preaching, but the prayer part. By this time next year, Lord, let this be a place genuinely called, as You declared, the house of prayer. And Lord, we believe when we pray, we hear the ticking agent of heaven saying, now boarding. Now boarding great and mighty things, exceedingly, abundantly, above all we've ever asked or even thought. Holy Spirit, I thank You today that You take the burden off of good people. You take the depression off of good people. You take that poverty and that indebted, that financial pressure off the people. And in prayer, God, we get on board with kingdom manifestations. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I know I've ranted a bit and I've been pretty passionate, and I'm unapologetic about it, because I know what has happened to my life because of what I'm preaching. And I would be insensitive to you to not want you to experience it as well. And part of that is knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Honestly and genuinely, I stand before You today. I thought about it this week. What would my life be without Jesus? I tell you with absolute confidence, without Jesus, I'm not sure that I'd even have life. To be quite honest with you, without Jesus, I'm not sure that I would be on the planet today. I believe I'd be in eternity the things that I was involved with. And so I tell you today, nobody can change your life like Jesus can. This is the last altar call of this year that I think I'll give. And I tell it to you in a very personal way. That as an individual, my life is no better than anybody else's. I'm just saying to you, as a man, nobody has needed Jesus more than me. And I tell you, he made a difference in my life and is making a difference. And if you're here today and you're not serving God, you don't have a relationship with him, I beg you today to, with seriousness and diligence, say, today I'm going to receive Jesus Christ to come into my life. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, I want to be a person that comes to Jesus. See, it's time for you to board. All this year, God's been working on you. He's been calling you to serve him, and you've dodged it. You've avoided the decision. But today is the last altar call you'll hear of this year. And I hope it's not the last altar call many hear, but I don't need you to hear this. This year, God's been dealing with you, and why don't you end this year right? And say, all right, I'm going to give my life to Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're backslidden. You've drifted from God. You may even still be going to church like Cain did, but your heart's not there. You've backslidden. It's time for you to come back. Then today's your day. When God called people to board and get in relationship with him, he did it publicly. And so I do it the way he did it. And I would ask you to respond the same way that those precious people responded when he called. And you'll get the same results. Salvation, forgiveness, and a brand new beginning. If that's you today, slip your hand up nice and high and say, that's me. I need to make a commitment, or I need to recommit to Jesus Christ today. Slip your hand up nice and high. Then you can put it back down. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand over there. God bless you. Today is your day. Today God has walked into this place and said, you're the one I've got my eye on. You can look up this way if you'd like. Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Come here. Come with her, Margo. Come on, let me pray with you. Well, you're just ready to do this, aren't you? Margo can't even keep up with you. I mean, you're just ready to do this. Look, this is a brand new beginning. On the last day of 2017, so God would let you to know he never did forget you all the year. But he loves you too much to let you have another one like this past one. Would it be all right if 2018 was far better than 2017? Yes. Then he loves you enough to do that for you. We're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to pray this prayer together, all right? We do this family style, right, church? Let's pray this prayer together. What's your first name?
Michelle.
Michelle. Let's pray together with Michelle. Pray this way, Michelle. We're going to pray with you. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me
from all my sins.
From all my sins.
I believe when you died on the cross,
you had me in mind.
The punishment for my sins,
you took on your body.
You took the judgment.
So I get the blessing.
I'm your daughter.
You're my Savior.
And my closest friend. Please stay with me through all the seasons. I need your help. I give you my life. It's what you've always wanted. I'm brand new. I have a brand new start. No more guilt. No more shame. No more regret. Only faith. And I'm expecting 2018 to be the greatest year of my life. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice and thank God. Come on, you can do better. He left the 99 for the one, and the angels rejoice. Let it be so in this church. Come on, let the angels hear the saints rejoicing for the child who's come back home. I think it'd be appropriate. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. I think it'd be real appropriate, and you've got time. You've got time. Would you come and stand around this altar with me, everybody? Would you, even in the balcony? I mean, they paid extra money to seat that far away from me, but I'm just messing with you. Everybody, would you come and let's stand around this altar as a church family? As a church family. I love you. I love you so much. Sorry, I'm a man, I don't like to cry like that, but man, I feel God here today. Would you come up close? There'll be some people coming. Some of you are just going to have to stand in the aisle, and that's okay. God knows. I'm a little bit claustrophobic, so I just stay up here. And so if it's too tight down there, you can come up here, but not too many of you. Speaking of onboarding, boy, I tell you, I have a hard time in planes because of it's a small space and there's a lot of people. I live in rural Maine for a reason. And it's not because I want to be around a lot of people. And so my wife and I were flying Iberia Airlines. If you've never flown them, don't. I don't know where, it's somewhere in Spain. And I think one pilot was drinking moonshine, the other one was smoking the devil's grass. I'd never been on a worse flight in my entire life. Everything about it was bad. Everything about it was bad. And we landed hard. I wonder what it would have been like if we landed with the wheels down. I never had a harder land in my entire life. You know, some flights aren't easy. These guys haven't had it easy all year long. But when we're singing today, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Thinking they got a one-year-old boy that they'll see because Jesus lives. How many know eternity has got to be on our mind all the time? Eternity is on our mind. And so not every flight's easy, but I can tell you, God's always getting you somewhere. Starting on January the 18th, this is why I really wanted you to come close. And I know some of you couldn't make it down here, but you're here. So God bless you. Thank you. I want everybody to hear this. January the 8th, we're starting what we call a 21-day challenge. 21-day challenge of fasting and prayer. Okay, so let me break it down real quick, and then we'll pray and we'll conclude. But I believe these 21 days are going to be some of the most impactful. Well, they will be the most impactful of 2018. And this is the challenge. This is what we'll do. 21 days of fasting and prayer. So every day, we take time to pray. You choose how you want to fast. And I'll tell you about fasting in just a moment. But here's what we'll do. Number one, we'll have a way to connect with you. If you want to sign up for the text, it's not ready for today. But we will text you every day on this 21-day challenge. Every day, we'll together read one chapter of the book of John. There are 21 chapters in the book of John. So, God wrote that book for us. So, 21 chapters in the book of John. So, every day we read one chapter. You can read one chapter a day. That's easy. And sometimes I like to read a little bit on because I just get more out of it. So, one chapter a day, you'll get a text from us. On Facebook, the staff doesn't know it, so they'll want to hide their response, but many of the staff, not all, but many of the staff will have either a live stream or a pre-recorded video that will go on our Facebook page, and they will do a brief devotion, 5 to 8 minutes devotion on that chapter that you read that day, just to encourage you and inspire you. And I tell you, I can't tell you how excited my wife was when she heard that she was going to have to do that. But 21 days, so you'll get a text from us, there'll be a live stream or a video, and we pray. fasting. There are a few types of fasting. People way too complicated, overcomplicated. Number one, there's a complete fast. That means just liquids. So water, juice, probably not Mountain Dew. But if you want to, I guess it's a liquid. It's a foul one, but it's a liquid. Whatever, coffee, broth, whatever. So that's a complete fast. Then there is a selective fast where you just take certain things out of your diet or out of your food. So it'd be kind of like a Daniel fast. Daniel fast would take out meats and sweets. And so, you know, I doubt a specific fast would be removing Reese's peanut butter cups out. Like, I would fast 21 days peas. Probably not much is going to happen because of that, right? Like, I've been on like a three-year fast. So it's not about the food necessarily. It's about your heart condition, right? So the complete fast, just liquids, a selective fast where there's certain foods that you won't eat. Probably should be a food you like that you don't eat. And then there is what they call the Jewish fast, which is from 6:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. So you basically fast breakfast and lunch, and then you eat in the evening, okay? So if you get up at 5:30 and eat, and then at 3:30 and eat, you know, you're probably busting the whole thing open. So I'm just saying, if you want to find a way around it, it's like your taxes. You can always find a way around it, okay? The point being, it's just a matter of you saying, God, I'm going to put away what I like so that my desire for you increases. And I'm telling you, and fasting and praying is denying the flesh. And my goodness, do we ever need to do that? My goodness, do we need to do that? It's denying the flesh, but it's not just denying the flesh. I've heard a lot of people teach, well, that's all you get, and don't expect God to. I'm telling you, I've seen God do some pretty incredible healings, miracles, breakthroughs, open doors when people prayed and fasted. And then you combine that with getting into the Word. I'm going to tell you something. Those 21 days will be the best 21 days of the year. But they won't, no, that's not correct. They're the most impacting. The rest of the year gets better and better. And so I'd ask you to just, we'll give you some more information next week. January the 8th is when it starts, and we'll talk about that. You don't have to fast all 21 days. Maybe you just want to fast a day a week or 3 days a week or whatever. That's totally up to you. I'm not getting weird about it. But how many know getting closer to God is not going to do anything to hurt you? It's only going to make you better and stronger. Would you find somebody to pray with? I believe in prayer partners here in the altar, back in the seats, in the balcony, however. Would you find a prayer partner? And just pray for a moment. Let's take about 5 minutes and pray. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your neighbor. I want to see God do some great things in your home this year. Pray for your home. Time to get on board with prayer. Time to be the real people of God. When my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. Come on, let's pray. Pray until you get some power. Pray until you get some discipline. Pray until you grow in that relationship. In Jesus' name. Lord, we need you more than ever before. It's a beautiful sound, church. Just keep praying. Press in. What needless burdens we carry when we don't go to prayer. Lord, I pray for bodies to be healed, for minds to be strengthened, for relationships to be strong. Pray for children to be well. I pray for faith to be restored. I pray, Lord, for an ignition of God activity in our lives. I pray, God, we see the impossible continually happening. God, I pray that you not only do the big things, but you're so great you do the little things. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we'll humble ourselves. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for becoming so prideful to think we can do this without prayer. But we humble ourselves. Let the sweet aroma of humility fill our lives, fill our homes, fill this church. Let us not be proud and arrogant, but let us be real and sincere and of a humble and a contrite heart. We know, Lord, that our heart will determine your response. For the Bible says a humble and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. Oh God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn within us great faith, great compassion, great holiness, great deliverance, great insight, great wisdom, great outreach, God. Let us reach like we've never before. Begin to pray, church. Just go ahead, pray. Give him the burden. Give him the problem. Give him the concern. Give him the joy. Give him the excitement. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah. He can do it. He can do it. He can do anything. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord. I see fathers praying for children. I see wives praying for husbands. This is beautiful. Don't believe for a moment that this is not without consequence. Let God bless your home. Let God bless your children. Your kids ought to know what it sounds like when their dad prays. Your kids, I know what my dad's prayer voice sounds like. I know what my mom's prayer voice was like. May your kids know what their dad sounds like when he prays. What needs we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Have in Jesus.
Come on, rejoice in it.
All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Sometimes it's viewed, well, when, if it, you know, people treat prayer like it's the last resort. It's the last resort. And you know what? If it's your last resort, do it. I'm not at all criticizing somebody who says that, well, we've come to this point, let's pray. Do it. Please do it. God's gracious and merciful. But sometimes you don't get to that place if you'd pray first. You're never stronger than when you pray. Did you hear what I just told you? Your greatest strength comes in your prayer time. Praise God. Do you realize you have free access to God the Father? You don't need a man. Some of you know what I mean. You don't need a man to talk to God for you. You're the man or the woman. You talk to God. And then just leave it with Him. Just walk away. I've given it to God. And then leave it there. We used to sing that as a kid. Leave it there, leave it there. Give your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I don't remember the rest of the words, but it was good. I did get that part. Leave it there. The Lord is here today. Church, there'll always be somebody that needs to be prayed for, and there should always be somebody in the church that can pray for somebody, and there'll always be somebody that needs prayer. And wouldn't it be all right if people, all the community, if they never went to church, but they said, you know, if you go there, they'll pray for you. What greater gossip could ever happen? Hey, I heard if you go there, those people will pray for you. That'd be awesome. Let it be so. Amen? Prayer is not complaining. Okay, I'm preaching sermon number two. I'm done. Let's lift our hands and thank God for 2017's victories, and let's thank God for 2018 victories to come. Come on, thank God. Lord, we give you the credit and the honor that you've been there all the while and that you never failed us. You never walked away. You never were found absent. But God, you've been there. And now we pray in expectation. Hallelujah. 2018 to be a year of great favor. 2018 to be a year of great breakthrough. 2018 to be a year of double portion, anointing and strength and insight. And to God be the glory. In Jesus' name, somebody shout a good amen. Hallelujah. Amen.